Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to National Network in Action. I apologize for being late getting on air. I'm not used to making shows at National Network in Action. And rights demand. So I have spent probably about 6 minutes connecting myself to the wrong radio show. But we're here together now, and Lynn Eagle Feather is to be our host for today, and hopefully she will be dialing in. Meanwhile, I want to let you know that here at National Network in Action, we stand up for your rights. And we ask you to stand up for your rights, too. Here we go.
Don't give up.
struggle continues.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Voices from Around the World singing Stand Up for Your Rights. That's a song we all know and love by Bob Marley, and they made a fresh take on it. And there are people who are singing that song in the United States and Jamaica, Africa, and, you know, they're just everywhere, and they combine their voices. And that is how it came out. And that's how we should do, you know, as people of different races and different nationalities and cultures and backgrounds combine our voices, we can come up with something beautiful also. So I love that concept, and I love that song. We're still waiting for Lynn Eaglefeather to call in, and she has not done so as yet. You know, Lynn is going through some difficulties right now. And, of course, the difficulties will remain with her the rest of her life, even when the initial pain subsides somewhat. And her son, Paul Castaway, was murdered by Denver police. That's Denver, Colorado police in July of 2015. So it has not been but a couple of months. And she had called me after we communicated this morning. I had put the video of Paul Castaway's shooting death on my wall at Facebook. It's called the Mary Loves Justice wall. Mary Loves Justice. But my name at Facebook is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. Now, I have tried to change that to Mary Loves Justice, disagree. I'm going to try again today. But in any case, I have put the video of Paul Castaway's shooting death. He was standing there with a knife to his own throat because he was suicidal. That's why his mother had called police. Lynn Castaway called police also because she had had good experiences with police helping her get Paul to treatment, or either that or to jail when he needed time out, when he needed treatment. And so she called police, and they came. This time, Paul ran out of the house and ran down the street, and police took out running after him, and shortly thereafter, she heard shots fired. And knowing what happens so often to mentally ill people in America, Lynn Eaglefeather's heart dropped because those shots to her could mean only one thing. Now, her son was not armed with a gun. He did have a knife, and he had it to his own neck. And he was using himself as a hostage because he ran down a street that was a dead end. A dead end. And police cornered him there and raised their guns, and he had the knife to his own neck, and teen children and lots of adults were out and about. It was broad daylight. Nevertheless, police shot Paul Castaway 3 times. They shot him 3 bullets, landed in him. I'm not sure how many times these 2 officers fired their guns, but I'm told that 3 bullets entered Paul Castaway, and Paul Castaway's last words were, what is wrong with you guys? The thing is, Paul Castaway knew that he had no health problems. He also had alcoholism. But his last words were used to ask police officers, what is wrong, you guys? And police actually sat on him, his dying body, and handcuffed him while he had 3 bullets in him, and sat there on him, crushing the life out of him. And they sat there until he expired. So Paul Castaway asked the questions, what is wrong with you guys? And this is a question that people are asking all across the nation. And I think there are a number of things wrong with police. And one of the things might be that none of them are given drug tests for steroids, crack, any kind of drugs after ballot incidents. And we know that quite a few police officers are on steroids to make them look muscular. And steroids are brain damaging. So they could be drunk, they could be on steroids or other drugs. They could be on ecstasy. We don't know. But neither is the system interested in finding out, because no police officers are drug and alcohol tested after they kill someone, after they irreparably harm someone. There should be immediate drug tests. They test the victim. Oh, yes, the victim's autopsy always tells us what that person had smoked or consumed. But police officers who shot him are exempt from tests. The police officers who taser the person to death are exempt from tests. The police officers who sometimes beat people to death are exempt from the tests that are given to the victim of the beatings and the taserings and the shootings. So I think that's wrong. And the other thing that might be wrong with these guys, using Paul Castaway's words, another thing that's wrong with these guys is that they have, in some cases, zero accountability. Yes, their superiors simply give them paid vacation when they kill someone and back them up in the killing, no matter how obvious it may seem to us that the killing was a wrongful death. There are supervisors that do that quite often. In fact, I would say in nearly 100% of the cases. Furthermore, the police unions pay for them to have defense lawyers if any criminal charges are being considered against them. So they're not like you and I. If we were charged with heinous crimes, we would have to cough up our own legal defense money or use a public defender. But they do not. Sometimes they use taxpayers' money to pay for accused police officers who are facing criminal charges. And those are just two of the things that answer Paul Castaway's question, what is wrong with you guys? And that is the question that he asked. You know, a lot of Native American people have faced some of the same problems that Black people face and Latinos and Hispanics face in the United States of America. And it's not entirely because we are a different race from Caucasians. Even Caucasians face these problems if they are targeted because they are poor. Now, poor Caucasians sometimes fare no better than do Blacks and Latinos and Native Americans. So I wrote a letter some time ago to the Ramapo people. That's a Native American tribe that's up in New Jersey. I wrote to them when they had been deported by the Cochran firm. That's the Jenny Cochran firm. And since we're waiting, and it looks like Ms. Lynn Eaglefeather might not be able to join us today, I want to invite you to read Mary Neal to Ramapo People, Cochran Firm Fraud. That's Mary Neal to Ramapo People, Ray Cochran Firm Fraud. And I wrote, Dear Ramapo People of New Jersey, this blog is to explain how the Ramapo people of New Jersey came to be defrauded by the Jenny Cochran firm and cheated of around $3 billion in the case Mann versus Ford. The Ramapo people were defrauded to save Ford Motor Corporation and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, that's EPA, both of which were and are culpable for deaths and sickness among the Ramapo and contamination of your land. If you see this letter, call me and read it aloud to me, word for word. I was assigned a team of cyber stalkers to interfere with this information going out to the world. They work in teams of four and are on the job 24/7. My computer security system captured their IP addresses, but police refused to address my cyber stalking and apply Georgia and federal law. My phone number is bugged. It's 678-531-0262. When a police officer tested my phone number using her cell phone, she got three short beeps and I hang up. Some people reach a recording falsely stating that my phone is out of service. Some are told that the circuits are busy or they are allowed to leave a message that is deleted without my receipt of it. I am a virtual prisoner because of an elaborate program to defraud minorities through the Cochran firm. See more information in the team links to this article that should be at the bottom of this letter. Also, visit my three blogs, Mary Loves Justice, Exposed Free Speak Blog, and Justice Gag. You can also try to email me at marylovesjustice@gmail.com. So that's the beginning of my letter to the Ramapo people, who are a Native American tribe in New Jersey. And in this letter, I went on to explain how the Cochran firm was used to defraud them in order to save Ford Motor Company about $2.5 to $3 billion. Now, that was the estimated value of their environmental racism lawsuit against Ford Motor Company, which had been dumping paint sludge and other toxic waste on the Ramapo people's land for years and had been made to stop doing it and clean it up by EPA. But they did not clean it up. And so the Ramapo people sued, unfortunately, I guess because they are dark-skinned Native Americans. Dark-skinned. They were induced by the Cochran firm to sign contract with the Cochran firm Broads. Their case that was worth an estimated $2.5 to $3 billion with a B dollars was settled in the Alabama, Southern Alabama office of the Cochran firm, but only $12.5 million with an M. Now we know that some single wrongful death cases, just one, get $12.5 million, and we're talking about a whole of people who have experienced wrongful deaths, crippling injuries to elders and children, cancers, all kinds of diseases because of environmental pollution, and all they settled that case for was $12.5 million. That's why the Cochran firm exists, to defraud minorities. Our time is nearly up. If you wanted to call in, you have about 40 seconds to do it. But again, I don't think that Lynn Eaglefeather is on the air with us today. She had, and I don't know if this is her reason, but she had difficulty when she saw the video of her son, Paul Castaway, being murdered by Denver police. Yes, Native Americans go through these horrific circumstances, like blacks, like Latinos, and like some whites who lack wealth. These are very trying and difficult times in the United States of America for people who are considered minorities. Okay, we have someone on the line now. This might very well be Lynn. I'm clicking for her to come in, but it looks like Blog Talk Radio is not forbidding that. Okay, Lynn Eaglefeather? Hello, Lynn? Lynn Eaglefeather?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hello, Lynn Eaglefeather?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can barely hear you, Lynn, but I'm so glad you were able to come. Wonderful. Well, go ahead, please. You have 15 minutes, and I'm sorry I didn't. Have you been holding long?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, you know they just now let your number pop up. All this time, you heard me talking about the Ramapo people.
Yes.
Well, you see, all this time, there was no light and no number on the board for you, and I apologize for that, but you do have another 15 minutes on this show. Everyone, this is Lynn Eaglefeather. She's the host of Native American Affairs, and I give you Miss Eaglefeather right now. Go right ahead, Lynn.
Well, I just wanted to apologize. I did have a hard time seeing the video. And I wasn't going to call in today and just try to not to put it aside and try not to think about it, but I have to think about it and I have to do something. I've been going to have me interrupted the mayor's meeting. And the chief of police, Robert White, and the mayor is Michael Hancock here in Denver. We went in there, and there's four victims here in Denver that are three Hispanics and then my son, Native. So we marched in, and we got to say our demands to them. They weren't going to let us speak at first because they were on the government channel. They were on TV. But they weren't going to let us speak, but they had to. We said, well, we will be heard. We will be heard. And he had no choice but to let us be heard, you know. So I got to speak first. And I got to, and I told them, you know, that you did not let my son die with dignity. That you sat on his dying body. And I looked at him and I asked him, is that how you train your police? Is that how you train them? You know, you guys need to step down because you're not doing your job. You guys, it's an embarrassment to live in a city where you're rated second in the nation in police killings. And no one has ever been charged. Not one police. There was one killing where Ryan Ron Keel, he was attending a funeral of a friend, and the police decided to serve a warrant at a funeral on this young man and ended up putting 40 bullet holes in his car at a funeral. So the Denver Police Department is very military structured. And I believe that they said that the CIT training, every policeman is supposed to go through it. But my list of demands were very powerful because we demanded that they be retrained. And I wanted to read the list real quick, if I could. To the mayor of Denver, Mayor Hancock and City of Denver, protocol developed by mothers, families, and other survivors of police violence for answering the questions during the aftermath of a police-involved murder. We demand costs to be paid by the city for Isabel's son, Joseph Belverde, killed by Denver police officer Justin Dodge on July 2nd, 2014. We then police patterns and practices of excessive force. We demand immediate ending of profiling and harassment of family and friends of those killed. We demand individual meetings with mothers and Denver City Mayor and those who the mother chooses to attend such meetings. To the District Attorney of Denver, Mitch Morrissey, we demand recall of your recent decisions to exonerate all officers involved in shootings. We demand the video of Jessica Hernandez's murder be released. We demand convene a grand jury to investigate internal affairs of the Denver Police Department. Now to the Denver Police Department, we demand training of police officers to handle gunshot wound victims in cases of Paul, Jesse, Ryan, and Joseph wounds were all further aggravated by officers' negligence. We demand officers involved in homicides to be put on suspension and withheld pay until a trial is heard. Police are not the judge nor jury, but act as executioner. We demand effectively retrain all officers in crisis intervention team, CIT practices, and only pass officers who receive an above proficient certification. We demand psychological health assessments and treatment for veterans before they are hired onto the force. We also demand rescind award given to Justin Dodge for the killing of Joseph Valverde. And I also demand my son's autopsy and his personal effects, which I was told would never be given to me. So all these things I am dealing with since I called for help, and the police have it on record that, you know, I called for help many times for my son. My son went peacefully every time. No problems, no alter, you know, having to restrain him or mace him. But, you know, they have, it's on record. And then for them to shoot him when he's in need of help, he was in more danger to himself than he was to the cop. And I told Hancock Chief White that I said, you don't even treat animals like that, you know. And it's been taking a toll on me. So I've been decided to take this whole week. I'm not gonna do anything for a minute because I'm getting really worn out. It's really putting a stress on me, but I know I have to keep speaking out on my son. But just for now, I needed a rest, and which I've been resting all day. So I need to rejuvenate, and the only way I can keep fighting is to take care of myself. And so that's what I was trying to do. And that's why I wasn't on the first half hour. I apologize for that. But next week, I would like to get a show together with, I would like to do a show on, there's been a number of killings, Native Americans by the police in the jails. The Sarah Circle Bear was killed in her jail cell. Not killed, but she died and was drugged by the officer by her shirt collar, like a dog, and put into a holding cell. Well, when they took her to the hospital, she was already gone. Philip Hybear from Eagle Butte, just not too last week, was beaten by the Denver police, by their Eagle Butte, South Dakota police, the reservation, the tribal cops, beat him to death while in his cell, while the other prisoners were telling him.
So there was a death, Lynn, was there a death last week?
Yes.
Are you saying there was a death last week in jail?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there in Denver?
In Eagle Butte, South Dakota.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, please.
And there is a Facebook page called Native Lives Taken by Police that they name all the victims throughout the years that have been taken. So I urge you to like that page, and if you know of any relatives or family members or friends that were taken by police that are natives, you can add their name to this page in honor of them.
And the name of that is Native Lives Taken by Police at Facebook?
Yes.
Is that the name of the site? Well,
yes.
Thank you, Lynn. Go right ahead.
And also, So next week I'm planning on gathering some of the other members of the families, the other family members of the murder victim. Last week, or the week before when I did the last show, Melissa Goodblanket called in, and she is a mother of Mahab Izzet. This Goodblanket, he has an Indian name, I can't pronounce it, but her son was shot, and she called for the same reason, for mental health, and he was shot in 7 times in his own home. So I'm going to getting some of these family members together and asking them, so I will be asking them to call in so they can tell their stories.
Well, that's very generous of you, Lynn. It's generous of you to right here in your fresh period of grief to be reaching out to other families who are suffering the same loss that you are. Their relatives have been killed by police and oftentimes in lunacy arrests, or people like myself whose relatives who were killed behind bars. And I just commend you on your work. At the same time, I want to urge you to get your rest. And if you ever feel a little overwhelmed, don't force yourself, because we understand, especially we who are into prisoner rights advocacy, we understand how much this can be overwhelming sometimes. Oftentimes we're working against stalkers and hackers, and very unsympathetic government officials, and we're treated like nuisances rather than grieving mothers, grieving sisters and brothers and fathers. We're treated like nuisances to these government officials. As you said, they did not want to hear from you and the other mothers during that meeting. They did not want you to get a chance to speak.
And we still got the chance to speak, and I was the very first one. And it was so empowering to tell the mayor, to tell the chief of police, look in their faces and tell them what their cops did to my son, and to tell them that they need to step down. That was so empowering. And there was a picture on Facebook where